Welcome to Living in Hi-Fi. I'm Steve.
And I'm Flissy. This is a podcast about records. Today's album is Folk Songs for the 21st Century by Sheldon Allman. This is catalog number 415 on High Fidelity Recordings from 1960.
So this album is from where, Flissy? I have no idea.
I bought this at the Winter Baltimore Record Bazaar. I think the vendor's name was Donnie. Sorry, Donnie, if that's not your name. Anyway, he's a dapper gentleman that had an interesting collection of albums. I think I bought a couple of things from him that day. He also had like some collection of children's music, some of which were like pretty out there looking. So I told him about our podcast and how we like to feature things that are kind of unusual. And so he pointed me to a couple things and I picked this one to bring home because it seems right up our alley. This is what happens when I go shopping for records unsupervised while you're sitting in our booth.
All right. Well, do you want to tell us a little bit about what the album looks like?
So it says right there on the front, Folk Songs for the 21st Century, Sheldon Allman in just kind of standard bold sans serif letters. And it has a picture of him wearing like it's supposed to be a space suit, like an astronaut suit, but it looks more like maybe a low budget football practice uniform or something. It's kind of got like padding on the knees and elbows. He's holding an acoustic guitar and wearing a helmet with like some visor on it. There's a satellite in the background. This is clearly a studio photo. There's just sort of this bokeh in the background, reminiscent of stars. And then on the back, again, it has Folk Songs for the 21st Century. It's got some illustration of space people, astronauts, I guess. A portrait of him wearing a bow tie, a little bio, and the track listing, of course.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, the satellite or whatever on the front, I think it's a little bit reminiscent of Sputnik, which I guess would have been a few years earlier from the the recording of this.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, do we want to get to our first clip?
Yeah, let's take a listen. What did you pick?
So I picked the song Univac and the Humanoid, and that is the third track on Side A. So let's take a listen.
Hark to my tale of a very tragic love, most grievous to relate. Two star-crossed lovers with a perfect love, they could not consummate. Their love was constant, their love was true, but of passion it was devoid. For he was a univac, Mark II, and she was an XF1 humanoid. She gazed at him and a tear was in her eye. To her love was denied. Her lover stood for mighty stories high, and he was one block wide. How could they do the impossible? How could their love be enjoyed? When he was a univac, Mark II, and she was an XF1 humanoid.
All right, Felicity, what'd you think?
You know, I like this pick. It's kind of a, falls into one of the categories of songs on this album. This is of the robot genre. Other selections, I think, can be categorized under like atom bombs, pop psychology, space, and like espionage slash like Big Brother conspiracy themed. So this is of the robot theme. And it is, in fact, like the cover indicates, rather folksy sounding. It's pretty like simple instrumentation. And I also like on this track Sheldon Allman's like very deep singing voice that is rather expressive. I think he's got kind of a dry delivery on all of these songs, but it still has its own expression to it. And I think the quality of his low voice kind of shows that he does have some classical training in his background.
I think that's part of why this album is sort of curious and interesting, is that, I mean, it's very straight delivery, and his voice is a little bit, you know, it's sort of unexpected to hear these songs sung in this way, I guess. Although I guess these songs are kind of unexpected anyway.
Yeah. It's definitely very tongue-in-cheek, though. Like, you can tell that, it's just tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting that, you know, I was thinking about this because I was having a conversation with one of my work colleagues about the movie Aliens. And so I was watching Alien and Aliens. And it's kind of interesting how when we make movies about sort of future space things, we can't really see past sort of current technology. Like in Alien or Aliens, I forget what year it's supposed to happen in, but it's, you know, far enough in the future where space travel is, you know, possible and routine, and yet they still have these like teletype terminals and the graphics are still in monochrome. And same thing here. It's like, you know, we're talking about the, I guess it's a UNIVAC Mark II. And I mean, UNIVAC was a computer that was, I guess, first, you know, designed and created for sale in 1951. And the Model 2 came out in 1958. And I mean, I guess he's not necessarily talking about the UNIVAC 2, because in his story here, it's 40 stories high and a block wide. But it's interesting how, yeah, it's like, you know, computers, I guess, in the 50s and 60s were very large. And so the idea that a computer would be, you know,
even bigger
in the future, I
guess. Turns out it went the opposite way. People didn't know that's how it was going to roll out.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's kind of interesting, I guess, love story between a computer and a robot. But I don't really understand. I mean, it talks about how it is a, you know, a relationship that could never work out. But I don't, you know, I don't really understand that. I don't know why the XF1 humanoid has to find an XM1. You know, why can't they, you know, why can't they live out their love together?
Seems like homophobic and... I don't know, something narrow-minded of the 50s happening there.
Yeah, it's traditional values of marriage, or no cross-racial or cross-robot. Yeah.
Cross-technology.
Cross-technological marriages. I don't know. So what can you tell us about Sheldon Allman?
So he was born June 8th, 1924 in Chicago. And then when he was a baby, his family moved to Canada. He joined the Royal Canadian Air Force when he was 18, and during that time, he was injured during World War II, and he recovered in a British hospital where he met Ted Thorpe, a producer who organized entertainment for the troops. So it was like kind of the Canadian equivalent of the USO that he was involved in performing for other soldiers during the war. And then he, when he came out of the war, he went back to the U.S. He went to L.A. and studied opera, and he shortly discovered that was like way too serious for him, which you might get that hunch from listening to this album. And so he instead got into working in television and film. So he was actor and comedian and musician. He appeared in HUD, The Sons of Katie Elder, In Cold Blood, All the President's Men as an actor. And he is also, you might recognize him as the voice of the singing horse, Mr. Ed. It was a different actor that played Mr. Ed when he was talking, but Sheldon Allman was Mr. Ed's singing voice. And he is also the lyricist for the George of the Jungle theme song. And he died of heart failure in 2002.
Okay, well, do you want to listen? Do we want to listen to your clip, Flissy?
Yeah. So my pick is "Crawl Out Through the Fallout," and it's the first track on side B.
All right, let's take a listen.
crawl out through the fallout, baby, when they drop that bomb. Crawl out through the fallout with the greatest of aplomb. When your white count's getting higher, hurry, don't delay. I'll hold you close and kiss those radiation burns away. Crawl out through the fallout, baby, to my loving arms, through the rain of strontium 90. Think about your hero when you're at ground zero, and crawl out through the fallout back to me.
So I don't know. I like this song. It's kind of interesting how, with it's got like a, I guess, a piano and an electric guitar and drums. It's sort of, I don't know, not unlike something like from West Montgomery or something, but obviously much different lyrical focus. I find it kind of interesting. I mean, this is sort of a second genre of songs on this that are like these post-apocalyptic, you know, sort of like post-nuclear war type of situation. And, I mean, it's kind of interesting also, I guess, how, yeah, the Cold War fears or whatever are already, I guess, building. And I find it interesting. I mean, sort of like this whole album has, you know, this dry delivery, but sort of this interesting combination of it. It's kind of like fatalism about it, where it's, you know, not really making, I mean, I guess it's indirectly making a critique or whatever, but like the songs are like just sort of accepting of like the fact that the world is kind of completely destroyed and that, you know, you're not going to live very long or whatever.
Yeah.
But I do like the line that's kind of thrown in there about like, while the ICBMs keep us free. I feel like that's very poignant or whatever about, it's like, you know, the world is, you know, inhospitable, and it says like, you know, we could be together, although that may not be too much, you know, too much longer or whatever. But, you know, well, I'm glad that those ICBMs are, you know, keeping us free at the same time. I don't know. It seems kind of pointless. Yeah. But sadly, I feel like this song has gained increased relevance recently with, you know, the increased level of military involvement in Syria.
Yeah, and like threat of nuclear war with North Korea, and yeah, it's like it is sadly relevant. It's like, oh well, here are all these bombs. We're probably all gonna die.
And what do you think?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's interesting. There is like, you know, we just mentioned like the lyrically, this song is quite dark. However, it still has that really kind of upbeat delivery. It's kind of somewhere between like early Elvis and like more kind of loungy 50s music. So it has this like it has this kind of upbeat rock and roll, soft rock and roll delivery, but it is really quite dark. And I think it's interesting because, like, as an outsider looking back towards the 1950s and early 1960s, like, I feel like nostalgia is strong for that era, like, even to this day, where like what I see looking back on the 1950s is like a lot of optimism. Like there is this sort of influx of wealth after World War II and a lot of excitement about outer space. And, you know, it seems like such a rich time. There's a lot of sort of commercial, you know, like things like Jell-O and things like made and everybody drinking Coca-Cola. Like there was this sort of sense of luxury to even very simple items. And so I feel like looking back on that time, it seems like very positive, optimistic time. But at the same time, like there is like this Cold War pressure building. There is also like the Korean War. And so there's like definitely there's dark stuff going on during the 50s. And I think that this album is an interesting reminder of like kind of the two sides of what's going on in the U.S. During this time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like overall, this album, I think, is very interesting. The first time we listened to it through, I felt like, man, this is super depressing. That like the vision of the future is that, you know, it's basically like a wasteland or whatever. And I don't know. I mean, listening to it through a second time, I guess maybe it wasn't quite as bleak as the first time through, but definitely, I don't know, not very many like just purely upbeat songs. I would say the closest thing to that one is the song X Squared Plus Two. That is just, I don't know, I think a little bit more reminiscent of something like They Might Be Giants might have done. What do you think, Felicity?
Yeah, but even that is like, oh, I want to express to my lover my love, but I can't because I'm like a robot or an alien or whatever. I can't remember exactly the details of that song. And so it is still about like this inability to communicate. I think it's, yeah, the whole thing is interesting. Like, I think that there is, the whole thing is just sort of this dark humor. I think it is, I guess it's like satire, right? It's like a parody of the style of the songs popular. And it's also kind of making some pretty...
like a social commentary.
Yeah, like a pretty serious social commentary on like the implications of, you know, what's going on with psychology. He's got like the song about schizophrenic baby and the consequences of and fear about what the government is up to with this song about Big Brother and extrasensory perception and the fear of nuclear war. It's just like all those things are pretty hard hitting, I think, in this album. But it still has this sort of upbeat delivery the whole way along. And musically, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, very interesting voice, like you mentioned. It's, I think, you know, very distinctive. And it's hard to say that this album is anything more than a novelty album due to the nature of the songs and the delivery and its sort of dark humor. But overall, it's kind of an interesting, I guess, artifact of you know, a particular era.
Yeah. I'm not really sure that I would pull out this one on the regular to just straight up listen to it, but I would definitely bring it out for show.
Yeah, if you're having some kind of theme party, maybe.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's available on, at least on Tidal, I don't know, maybe on Apple Music or Spotify also, which is actually kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah, and you know what? I also found, we'll put a link in the show notes, there is a re-release of this album, and the LP is like this sort of radioactive green color, which is appropriate. So the Crawl Out Through the Fallout was featured on the game Fallout 4, and that may have brought Sheldon Allman to some attention of some gamer geeks and... you know, brought that to the attention of somebody who wanted to re-release the album.
Overall, an interesting album. Maybe not something that is worth seeking out, but something that is kind of an interesting, you know, interesting novelty. So, for more information, you can visit our show notes at livinginhifi.com/episode/46. As always, you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at livinginhifi. For longer correspondence, you can email us at feedback@livinginhifi.com. And next week we have something, at the confluence of Felicity and my interests. So another, you know, Brazilian artist who came to America in the 60s. So stay tuned for that. And thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.